Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans. Producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows. Interviewing celebrities and showrunners. And bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
But... there it is. Ooh. One more time.
Our spooky intro. We had to go back to the original.
You know, I was really actually thinking that maybe for the finale they would change it. Maybe hopefully for season two.
Yeah.
They'll change
see.
It. But anyways.
It fits. I will say it fits like the mood of the opening thing that they show, where it's just kind of this haunting, creepy thing. But I don't know. I like something that moves, you know?
Yeah. It's just yeah, me. I'm with you. Well, and the way it ends, but we'll get to that.
Whoa.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, guys.
Welcome to another episode, the final episode of Man in the High Castle, season one. This is episode 10. This is A Way Out.
A Way Out.
Yes, I am your host, Courtney Henderson, and I am here with Taylor.
Hi, guys. My name is Taylor Bolt. Thank you for watching. You can find me on Twitter at Taybolt, that's T-A-Y-B-O-L-D-T, or on Instagram at T-Bolt, also B-O-L-D-T.
He posts photos.
I do.
They're good photos.
Thank you.
You should check it out.
Oh, thank
I
you
like
so
them.
Much.
Yes.
Thank you.
And YouTube.
That's so sweet.
But that's another. That's a whole other thing. We got too much
someone
to talk about.
Someone who compliments my Instagram game. That's awesome.
I'm like, I need inspiration. All right. Well, you were kind of talking about it with the music, kind of the show, introing, kind of perfectly leading us in. So kind of. I'll hand it over.
I mean, we sort of pick up because we have this intro where they're projecting. Like, we're getting projections on top of actual monuments and things. My favorite is the eagle, the Nazi eagle, where they project the eagle on top of the actual carving of it. But we get transitioned straight from those projections into film projections. Hey, so we get to see just sort of like a recap of the film that we saw at the end of last episode. And, you know, these films have become, they were always sort of the most important thing, but they've become so important to the point where anytime I see something in the grainy film,
like, is that it?
Yeah, I'm like, what's going on? There's more secrets, secret information. But again, we see Joe shoot Frank in the back of the head and execution style and kill him. And then we're sort of left with that, like, what did we just see? Like, they're left with that feeling too, but we as an audience are also just like, what the heck did we just see?
We kind of tried to talk about it last week, so check that out if you haven't been able to see that yet. But the thing I also thought was interesting, and I'm hoping it was foreshadowing because I didn't see it come out in this episode, was when Juliana asked Frank about the guy next to him, you know, in the video, and how he looked familiar to her. Like, did he know him or, you know, because he's like, he looked familiar.
That's interesting, yeah.
And we didn't see the footage again.
That's gotta be foreshadowing.
You know what I mean? That's the only thing I could think.
There's no reason they would say that if that didn't mean something.
Right.
So either that's a character we haven't met or I just haven't made the connection in that episode yet.
But yeah.
Who knows?
So we will see.
Yeah. We have Joe enter,
yes.
And then there's so much tension because they've just seen him execute Frank. So
and he doesn't know that because he hasn't seen it.
It's like, have you ever had like a fight with your best friend in like a dream or something? And then you wake up the next day and you're like pissed at them and you're like, wait, no, you didn't do that. It was just a dream.
I know the feeling in a dream. Not that specific dream, but yes, I have woken
not
up.
Not that specific dream.
I've woken up kind of feeling like heated from a dream and being like, wait.
Yeah.
Did we
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You really have that fight?
Yeah,
was that real?
I've never had my friend execute me in a dream.
No, or in a video or anything. Right. Yeah, kind of going, well, and they're not even friends.
Well,
First of all, they're
true.
About as far away from being friends
they're
as
like
two people could be.
Apexes of a triangle, if you know
right.
what I mean.
Yeah. An unspoken triangle,
right.
of course.
There's not a line that connects them.
Which we kind of see a little bit. Mm-hmm. Which just, I just really do love the Joe Giuliana thing.
I really want it
to happen, you guys.
I like it too, which is a shame because honestly, like Frank kind of waited for her. He was sort
he's not a bad guy.
He's been like, Frank's a good guy. That's why I feel so bad that
for
I'm
wanting.
Still kind of like Team Joe.
Okay, well, I want to talk about that, but I don't know if we should talk about the end.
We can't talk about the end until the
end.
This end blew my mind, and I don't really know if I even know how to talk about it yet.
Right.
So let's ease into it.
Right,
for sure.
Okay. Well, let's just talk about the fact that we see the man and the High Castle.
I didn't realize that's what it was until I, like, literally as it was happening,
yeah.
I was like, oh my god.
The Austrian Alps.
Yes.
And guess who's going?
It's the High Castle. It's Rudolph.
Rudolph
is going to
what?
The High Castle, which I'm assuming that's the High Castle, right? That's gotta be what it is.
Yeah, and that's got, I mean, Hitler.
Well, is the man.
Because, so that's why, okay, remember, I don't know, episode one or two, I was like, I read something that said, like, Hitler is the man.
Oh, that makes sense.
And so, I don't remember if that was a spoiler and I didn't realize it, or if it was just speculation.
I don't think that you said that specifically.
Oh, I
like
did.
If you just said it was Hitler.
That I didn't think that I read that was speculation.
Okay, yeah.
We
I think that was probably pretty good speculation because we see, I mean, there's this gorgeous shot of this car like weaving through the woods and you see this high castle. There you go. You see like a castle in the middle of like a mountainous region as they're like going up there, and you know that Rudolph's going to meet Hitler.
Well, technically, we don't know that it's Hitler yet.
Well, no, but we've established that he's going to see the Führer.
Oh, right,
like,
right.
Yeah.
We don't know that it's Hitler. Right.
Yeah, we assume that that's his destination.
Right.
But I guess, but when he pulls up and we see them like taking his pistol and checking his papers and you see the armed guards in the hallway, I was sort of like, yeah, this is,
and you walk
this has
in,
gotta be Hitler.
Yeah, you walk into the office and it's like, he's watching films.
Yeah, exactly. It's so, I mean, as soon as I saw that, I was like, this is it. Like, he's collecting these films.
Yeah.
It's just so interesting that if he's the one that wants these films, then who's leading the resistance? Or is it his resistance somehow? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Is
the resistance just trying to keep these films away from him? Is that the point? Is that the point of what they're doing? Why do these films exist?
Are there not actually two men in two different high castles, but do the resistance think they're working for the man of the high castle, not realizing it's Hitler? You know, like,
that's why I don't know.
Because wasn't Lem the one that was, like, oh, this is a couple episodes.
Like they were like going to see the man in the high castle, right? That was the point when they went to the neutral zone, was trying to see the man in the high castle, which is there, I mean, is there two? Was that like just sort of like a pseudonym, or?
I don't know.
Is the resistance working for Hitler somehow?
And
then why does John Smith tell Joe early on in the season, when Joe is going to the neutral zone, to put a bullet to kill the man in the high castle? You know what I mean? He said, you go meet him, and if you see him, like, you will sacrifice your life to try to kill him.
But like, do you think that was just because that Joe was giving him the information that we're supposed to be meeting the man in the high castle? And that John Smith is none the wiser, like anybody else?
I'm not saying that John Smith knows, but they think that the man in the high castle is somewhere in, like, Colorado. Like, he thinks that, right, because that's where Joe was, and if he's going to meet him, like, he thinks that that's what's happening. So he's somewhere in the neutral state. So then, how can it be Hitler all the way in Berlin or in Europe? You know, it's Berlin basically outside
of
Berlin.
But I feel like maybe John Smith did know, and he was just kind of playing along. Because
it's possible.
Because, you know, going to him now, we see him on this hunting trip.
Mm-hmm.
And he brings his own gun, which I loved. You know, it's like, I brought you a gun. It's like, I think I'm going to use my own.
And he has his aide there, Heidrich's aide, and he's like, oh, God. You just see his face sort of all. He's like, no, I'm going to bring my own gun. Because it was sort of verification that this was the horror story scenario that he thought it might be.
Yes. Well, that, and it's, I mean, it's one of those where, of course, it seemed like they were going to try to make it look like a suicide or something.
Right.
And a gun malfunction. And it's like, why wouldn't his own gun do that better? But it's like they also didn't have control over what was going on with the gun prior.
I think maybe it was just that they were trying to see if they could get him on their side. Like, whatever, like, weird little traitory resistance thing that they were doing. It seems like they were trying to see if they could sort of recruit him to that. And that's... because otherwise, it would be so easy to just kill him. You know what I mean? It would be so easy
for
him
to just kill him. But he says that. I believe John Smith says that.
Like, says that if he wanted to kill me,
we wouldn't be going on this. Like, this whole charade wouldn't be necessary. But and the charade was actually a test,
right? Well,
to see which side, and so that's why
it's a test to see what side someone's on. But if you put a barrel of a gun in their face and say, like, "Are you on my side?"
But he said no.
No, I thought that he said like. My understanding was that he basically said yes because he said like, "I'm not in it alone. Are you in it alone?" And he was,
but then at the end
he said no. So as to be like, no, like I'm on your side, kind of.
Oh, I didn't take it that way at all because.
Well, to me, it's like if he, as soon as he decided to shake his head no, he would know that he was going to die. So he would either they would just kill him before. You know what I mean? Like that. I took that to mean. I took that as a sign of consolidarity. And, you know, I think it was like a forced confession, but I took that to mean that he was going to at least play along with siding with Heidrich. Or else, he takes a bullet in the back of the head.
But then, no, because that guard got shot.
Right, but that didn't happen yet. What I'm saying is Heidrich has the phone, and he's about to talk to Hitler. But he thinks that it's going to be a confirmation that Hitler's dead. That's what he understands, right? But he's saying, he told John that you have to side with me. You have to agree that we're in this together before I get this phone call.
Right, because depending on who answers the phone depends on whether John lives or not. That's how I took that.
Oh, no.
If he says he's with Hitler and not with Heidrich, or with the Führer and not with Heidrich, then if Rudolf answers the phone, he's dead. If the Führer answers the phone, I don't think they're going to kill him.
Oh, no, I think they are.
You think they're going to kill him either way?
Well, yeah, why wouldn't you? Because now he's a witness to all of this. He knows that you're a traitor. I think my take of it was just that Heidrich's basically trying to have the Führer killed, right?
And he's not alone.
A resistance cell. Sure, he's not alone, but he's trying to get John Smith on his side. He's trying to get him as an agent or as a recruiter.
Totally agree.
But it's a matter of, okay, so when I get this phone call, he's not expecting it to be Hitler. It's not like maybe it's Hitler, maybe it's not. It's like this is going to be confirmation that Hitler's been killed. And so when I get this confirmation, you need to have sided with me. Because if you haven't...
You're dead.
You're dead. It's like, I mean, they're going to kill you or we're going to work together. So I need to know before I take this. So that's why he like answers the phone and like puts it over and he's like, so
But why would it matter if he was sure it was going to be Rudolf? Because it shouldn't matter if Hitler's dead or not. It's just a matter of getting him to make a decision.
It shouldn't matter. But I think what happens is as soon as the guard is shot, you know.
Right, but what I'm saying is they don't know that Rudolph's actually, because he can't go in with a gun. Mm-hmm. The whole, they talk about the paranoia and the beauty of Hitler's.
I don't think Heidrich doubts at any point that Rudolph's going to kill Hitler. I think that he's sure that it's going to happen. I don't think that he doubts it for a second. That's why we see him so surprised when he's playing Mein Führer, when he's like, so he's so shocked that it was Hitler on the phone.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't buy that.
I don't think it was like, maybe this will work. So, he had all of his eggs in this basket. If Rudolf doesn't kill Hitler, then he's screwed anyways. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a must. Like, Rudolf must kill Hitler for any of this to go forward.
And I almost feel like there's a chance that John Smith knew that. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's possible. Because, I have no idea what's going on
there. Because he did side with Hitler. John he never Smith wavered from that.
Knows more
even, you know what I mean?
Than
and
we think he does.
But he also knows Rudolf. So I think he also knew,
but
Rudolf in that moment, if it came to it, couldn't do it. Because that was one of, I mean, because Hitler banked on that.
I mean,
he
people,
banked on that. He knows him.
Yeah,
and
Hitler banked
and
on
I
that.
Have to imagine that either the three of them worked together, you know, it was like an earlier time when they were maybe closer there. Or he being John Smith just knew.
I feel like
that
John
Rudolph
Smith
couldn't do it.
I feel like John Smith has a connection to Hitler that we aren't aware of yet, for sure,
right.
Because he's like his special task force.
Because I also
films.
Think that's but, probably why there was somebody there to kill the guard.
Yeah,
they had to
so
know
actually,
that
I'm
John Smith was being taken up to be killed.
I'm wondering about
or potentially
that.
Killed.
I'm wondering, is that guy one of John Smith's men? You know, because he has men too. That he was
of
just
course.
Like, he was just like, we're going hunting. It's probably going to be this cabin. I want you to follow us through the woods and set up. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that was John Smith's men, or if that was somehow because Hitler knew that this was all happening. He seems
right.
to. If he did this to sort of save him, does that make sense?
Right.
Like that's what I.
But
don't
I think
know.
If Hitler knew and set it up to save John Smith, that John Smith also knew that Hitler, like they were in on it together. It wasn't
quite possibly,
you know, like secret plans. Because
quite possibly, yeah.
Because otherwise, again, like, why would John Smith go? It's too risky that they're going to shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's. I think it just boils down to we don't know how tightly knit he is with Hitler. But if that's the case, I think that's very possible. Because it seems like they are pretty close.
Yeah.
It could have been that he was sort of like a long shot and he managed to survive. But I think it is stronger if he was somehow in on it. On Hitler's side of things. Of course, Hitler had, you know, it wasn't just that Hitler banked on the fact that, I think it's almost naivete to say that Hitler just knew Rudolph couldn't do it so much as he didn't think that he could do it, but he also had this thing like, listen, you kill me, like, you're going to start this war. And it was that he knew that he couldn't live with. He knew that, because he had leverage, basically, is what I'm saying. Because Rudolph's idealism it's just that he's caused enough destruction. He
right.
doesn't want to cause any more destruction. So when Hitler says, like, listen, if you don't do this, I'll keep your family safe. That was the one point of contention.
Right.
But also, if you do this, there's going to be a nuclear war, basically. Or, you know, he doesn't know if it's going to be a nuclear
right.
war, maybe. But there's going to be a war.
It's going to be your fault.
And it's going to be your fault. And all these people are going to die because of you. And I think that is what made Rudolph concede.
Agreed, but Hitler knew he had that going into it, which is why Hitler...
No.
I don't think he would have left a gun available for him to grab.
Sure.
If he in any way thought his life was actually in danger.
He was sure he was fine. I just think... I guess my point is that it wasn't just because Rudolph can't do it. It's because Rudolph can't do it with his information. Like, if you once all the leverage is presented, of course he won't, you know, because he wouldn't live with
which
that.
Which is why I wish that he would have or could have.
Yeah.
Anyways, just because to me, it was a little predictable. As soon as Hitler started talking to him, I was like, he's going to freaking shoot himself. And he did. And I was so disappointed, only because it was just kind of like, here we go again. This is the way it always goes.
Yeah.
You know.
But it was kind of a cool way to meet Hitler in the course of the story.
Okay, so that was actually going to be the next thing.
Okay.
I actually was really... having seen the whole episode, now I really understand why they introduced us to the castle and to Hitler, you know, how they did when they did.
Mm.
But I was actually really... I don't know. It was just very anticlimactic for me until you walk into the office and Hitler's watching the tape.
Hitler's watching
it was
the
one
film,
of those where I'm like, seriously? We're like, what, a third of the way into this episode and you're just going to like do those like the big landscaping, you know, sweeping shots? And I'm just like, no.
You think
no.
that should have like come at the very end, sort of like,
yes.
and like now we meet the
right.
man?
Well, not even. Like you just show the castle and it's like that big view and then cut. Season two, you know what I mean? I just felt like...
Yeah, but there wouldn't have been enough episode then. Here's the thing. I would 100% agree with you, but I actually think... Because if that was the biggest discovery in this episode, I would 100% agree with you. But I think the way that it actually ended and then cut, wait for season two, is even more of a mind-blowing
thing.
But I
feel like you could have done all of the same stuff and just had that later in the episode.
Sure.
You know, because the series of... Because all of these things are happening at the same time in their respective places in the world.
Right.
Right? Again, I understand, and I'm not... I don't hate on it, but as I was watching it, you know, in real time going through, not knowing how the episode ends, I was just like, meh, this is a little disappointing for me.
Well, I think they showed
being
it,
introduced to the castle.
What specifically happened between us seeing the castle and Rudolph actually killing Hitler? There wasn't a whole lot, I feel like, because we have some of the talking
right,
points.
Right, but what I'm saying is all the stuff that happens trip. With Juliana and Joe, all the stuff that happens with Frank and Ed, that's all happening at the same time,
so
just on the other side
happened,
of the world.
That should have just all happened first, and then all
yeah,
the Hitler stuff should
have
happened.
So. I think so. I mean, granted, maybe they looked at that and it didn't...
Yeah.
I mean, they know what they're doing, obviously,
sure,
but...
Yeah.
But like I said, it just, in the moment watching it was just kind of like, really?
Yeah.
This is it?
I would.
We waited all season and you're going to show it to us, but it's just going to be anticlimactically in the middle of the episode.
I thought it was still gorgeous. Yeah, I see what you're
saying.
You know
what I'm saying?
I totally see what you're saying. I think that it would be a much bigger deal to me if there wasn't that even larger reveal at the end. You know what I mean? But like, I absolutely agree.
I feel like, what? But I also feel like...
I just don't know how to talk about it. You knew the end was going to happen.
Other than
oh, I didn't know the end was going to happen.
Okay.
Well, oh, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't have,
okay. So as, I'm saying, I'm saying
that.
You knew Joe nor Juliana were ever going to actually turn and kill or cause the death of one another.
I'm talking specifically about the very end with Togomi. Like,
yeah. Well,
that,
yes.
That specific moment is what I'm talking about. Yeah. No. All like
but
the
I knew Joe wasn't
going to die. Obviously. I was actually afraid Lim was going to die for a minute. Because he was like, it was like going to be like Lim v. Joe for a second. And I was like, no, one of them is going to die. And it's not going to be Joe because Joe is too central.
Yeah. So before we get into that, I want to talk about Ed.
Yeah.
With the gun,
gosh.
Right?
Okay, we talked about this last episode.
Yeah, that's why.
We were just like, something bad's going to happen with
he's
Ed.
He's like such a good friend.
Yeah.
And like, he's the character for some reason... I don't even feel sorry for him. They just can't get out of San Francisco.
They just can't.
Oh my gosh,
they
right?
just can't get away. I feel really bad for Ed, but also, like, this is, I think, why he was sort of an unsettling character. We've talked about this multiple times.
Right,
all season, why he was so unsettling is just that we knew in our heart of hearts that something like this was coming, that it just was, he was too...
Well,
he was too good of a character.
He was such a good person.
That
he got the gun. You know what I mean?
First of all, I didn't understand why he got the gun. Why didn't Frank just keep the gun?
I don't know.
I don't really understand that.
Because otherwise Ed couldn't try to go melt it down and get caught.
But if Frank's, his whole plan was just to flee to the neutral zone, like, wouldn't a gun be somewhat useful? You could at least sell it.
Well, I think it's just one of those, because the gun had already been, like, clearly targeted as the murder or attempted murder weapon.
He didn't
want to have it on him because they were still looking for him, whereas they weren't looking for Ed at all.
But why did he feel like he needed to melt it down at the factory, like the factory that's been under scrutiny of the Kempe Tai.
Right.
You're in San Francisco. Throw it into the river.
I mean, or
throw
keep it in a drawer.
Bridge.
Like, again, you're in no way under suspicion at this point.
Yeah, he's totally not. Like, why would you take the gun to work where the Kempe Tai have been searching for it and try to, like, very quickly, like, throw it into a kiln, which, I mean, it's like they're not going to know. Like, what's this weird metal in here?
Yeah.
I guess at that point it wouldn't matter. But still, like, throw it in the water. Like, no one's going to find it.
The only thing I can think of is that he obviously felt like he had enough freedom at work that he didn't think he'd get caught.
I'm sure he didn't, but
he knew that there would be an element of risk, but...
It was still so stressful. He was like, okay, they're leaving, and now I can do it really fast, and I can get the tongs, and, like, forget the tongs, man. Just throw it in there. Just kind of toss it in. Like, I don't know. I feel like that was poor planning on Ed's part.
Yeah.
And he's going to pay the price for it.
I don't know. He's going to be in trouble.
Oh, I think that he's going to be the scapegoat, because I think that they have his confession on tape. Inspector Keto doesn't really care who did it, because he knows who did it. We see him kill the Nazi assassin who did it. So he knows who did it. He's just looking for someone.
And that's already taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just trying
to blame it on someone, and it doesn't matter who it is.
He's trying to keep the peace, right?
Exactly.
So it can't be a Nazi. So it just has to be a civilian.
Exactly.
So he doesn't care who, as long as it's some civilian.
And now he has Ed's confession on tape, so
we're
that's
assuming because it
yeah.
cut it like very distinctly cut, because I remember in that moment watching it thinking this is the thing I hate about TV and film.
Yeah.
Is like on stage, if you're having a conversation like that, you can't just cut when it gets good.
But
you know
I,
what I mean?
But
you have
to
fully live out the moment. Whereas in
right.
In editing, you can cut
yeah.
perfectly like that.
I think that he did. I think that I'm not sure if we're supposed to infer that. That's just what I think. Because if he didn't, they wouldn't be like leading him out in handcuffs like that. You know what I mean? They wouldn't.
I think. Well, but I think I still think they would because
well, they
even
would be
if
using
he didn't
him as
do
a
it,
witness against Frank, if he said no, it was Frank's
but they
gun,
couldn't find Frank. And I don't think
Frank
he said
just
anything.
Into,
I know, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think Ed's going to be in trouble. I think it's going to all be on. Well, let me correct this. I don't think Ed is going to be the one that gets in trouble for doing the attempted assassination, but I think he's still going to be in trouble and put on a list or whatever, if not killed, for trying to, you know, get rid of evidence, trying to get rid of the gun.
Yeah, I think, maybe I should save it for predictions, but I do think that it's going to land on Ed's shoulders. Whether or not he actually gets executed, like, you know, maybe the resistance comes along and, like, Frank uses some sort of leverage and tries to get in, like, who
but
knows?
What leverage does Frank have at this
like,
point?
None,
you know what I mean?
None really, but, like, also, Frank was, we saw him on top, like, in front of a firing squad, and, like, last minute they saved him for ostensibly, like, no real reason other than that they felt like it.
Yeah.
I mean, if I was Inspector Keto, I probably would have just said, yeah, just, you know,
whatever,
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because why, he's clearly going to be like a resistance member. You just killed his sister, you know what I mean?
Right.
So just like, go ahead and do it. So I think that it's not unheard of, just because we have that precedence, for Ed to be like convicted and be about to be executed or whatever and somehow get out of it.
Okay, true. I would
yeah,
go with that.
But
I would
like,
go with that.
But who knows? It's just
right.
all speculation at this point. But I do feel like, I feel like Ed confessed. I think he confessed, and I think that it's going to be, he's going to be at blame, and now Frank is going to have to try to find a way to get him out. And I think
right.
that's going to be part of Frank's character arc.
Interesting.
In season two, when season two comes around.
Because, okay, the reason I guess I will agree to disagree is
okay.
because I feel like they're both, first of all, you know, we know Frank, neither of them actually did it. Frank wanted or thought about it. There's witnesses that say he never fired the gun. We hear them say that. Now, of course,
but
they can keep all of that at bay.
Keto doesn't care.
No,
like,
I know.
Would, yeah.
But the problem is, if they're both trying to take the blame, and they're both, like, confessing, then there's gonna be a problem letting either of them out. Or, you know what I
right.
mean?
So they could keep them both, is what you're saying. Is that what you're saying?
They could keep them both, but he also couldn't just pin it on one of them, because I think there's enough people around that it would be a little bit of an issue
Just kill one of them, pin it on the other. You know what I mean?
But I'm saying, but then there's still
whether or not they'll do
people
that.
Will still talk though, and I don't think either of them would ever
well
give in on the other person because it's so it's one of those where no matter what happens now, if they have two people both claiming to be the one that
right.
attempted it,
but it's not like they're going to get media coverage as a thing. Like, what do you mean? Like, people will talk. Like, who's going to know? I mean, who's going to know
anybody there?
Yeah, but they're all, I mean, they're all Kempe Thai. Like, it's
yeah,
not like.
Yeah, but it's still.
I don't know. I don't think that's going to be, I don't think that's going to be a huge issue. I mean, I think that, yeah, I just don't see that being like a pivotal plot point just because it's, would be so easy to deal with from an, like, if you're an autocratic government, it's not, I don't think you worry about that. You know what I'm saying? If you're an empire and you're like a secret police for the empire and there's like, oh, these two people are confessing to the same crime, it's like, just make sure no one hears them. You know?
Right, but then how are they going to do that?
I think it's simple. I think that
they're going to kill them both,
or they keep them locked up until they sort it out.
Right, but that's my point.
My
eventually,
point is,
you can't just keep two people locked up and have it not eventually cause a problem. Because
sure.
we have
oh,
Ed's grandpa.
I think it must.
You know what I mean?
But I also think,
and then
that,
Juliana at some point. I think, is going to come looking for Frank.
Yeah, but the idea that the media is going to, like, pick this up.
I'm not,
and, like,
no. I've never said the media. I'm not saying the media.
Or even that the word is going to get out, I think, is very, like modern day realistic actuality, like real life America, to think that, like, a word will get out. Whereas I think that in a government structure like this, no, I think it's easy that the word doesn't get out, you know? It's not like they have, I mean, we
right,
see this in the real
are
world.
Things are changing. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, going into season two, a lot is going to be different.
Things are changing, but unless they, like, invent Twitter, which is, you know, sort of what
no,
costs,
no, I'm
like,
not, you don't have to have Twitter.
Yeah, I know, but my
because,
point being,
But we're already seeing, which I would imagine is on, you know, in both the Japanese and the German governments, we're already seeing it, like, within the German government, Smith versus Heydrich. Like, you're already seeing two different sides within the government. It's already sort of starting to fail. That has to be true because we look at the trade minister, you know, and granted, he sort of represents not all sides, but in a way, because he works with all these international people.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think that it's all as strong as it seems, or they want us to think. Because even Giuliani's dad...
What do you mean, not as strong as...
I'm saying I don't think that the government can really keep as much...
Oh, as sort of monolithic?
I don't think the wall is as strong.
Sure.
Because all it takes is two guys sitting, you know, in the bar saying... And again, like, I know this is modern day, like, saying something about, can you believe those two guys? Like, what idiots are... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And things just get out. Like,
I think the point you're trying to make is that Ed and Frank, if they are both confessing to the same crime, it's going to cause problems. I don't think that those are going to be huge problems, but I could see for the plot of season two. I guess what I'm saying is, if this was a real life scenario, I don't think it would be a problem. You know what I mean? If this was a real life scenario that this was happening, I think that Inspector Keto's already covering some stuff up. He'd just figure out a way to just make it go away. But for the purposes of the plot of the show,
I don't think he's doing a good job, though. Well, my point.
Again, what I'm saying is, like, real life scenario. Now, in the context of the show, who knows? I think that could very well be an issue, or at least... I don't know. I see it resolving itself pretty quickly. I don't see them dragging this out.
I never said it will resolve.
I'm trying to agree with you that I think that it would, that could cause an issue in the context of the plot of this show.
Yeah. That's all I was saying.
No, yeah.
I don't think it's going to be like a major plot point. I don't think it's going to take a whole season.
Yeah, I didn't think that.
Yeah, okay.
That's not what I thought. I guess what I was just saying is that, like, I was just trying to make a comment on the structure of, like, an autocratic government like this, where if this was real life, I think they could just go like that and it would just vanish. But I think
that time period today, no.
Oh no, not today.
But you already commented on that,
right?
Like, obviously they don't have Twitter.
Well, it'd
be very hard to keep.
It's
that
also cool
under
to
bed,
think
yeah.
about that. Like, how different would this world be that this show lives in if social media was a thing?
Oh my gosh,
you know, it would be so vastly different.
There's so many things that we probably will never know about that have happened
before social media.
Yeah, because there wasn't that
that's
kind
really
of constant eye. You know?
Oh gosh, that's really interesting. Yeah.
Really? Okay, so. They are, and the other thing is, you know, we're sitting here, like, you know, going into this, we don't even know technically if Ed has in any way confessed, and we don't know if Frank is going to. I mean, I would imagine Frank went there because he's going to, and he's trying to be a good friend, and it's interesting because in a weird way, I feel like this opened up the plot for Giuliana and Joe, because Frank's kind of choosing Ed.
Over now, Giuliana?
Which, kind of, I mean,
yeah,
but
I
think...
I see that, because he's...
I mean, he...
If he's turning himself in.
Right,
yeah.
I mean, he doesn't know what's going to happen, or he knows what's probably going to happen, and he's willing to do it anyways, in the name of Ed. And so...
That is true.
It just sort of puts him, not necessarily completely out of the picture, but, like, a little bit to the side... But again, now we have no idea where Joe is going.
Right.
We at least got that far.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it looks like he just sort of hops on, like, a fishing boat or something. But
which, okay, before he gets there, let's, like, backtrack.
Mm.
So he goes, or he's in the embassy.
Yeah. So he actually, that was super stressful,
they're totally
too.
Totally lying to him.
Oh, yeah.
Which we don't know at first, but then, you know, it becomes obvious.
So,
and,
yeah, there's a whole. Again, this lends credit to Heydrich's thing where he's like, I'm not alone, even though he seems to be sort of like the head of it, maybe. But, I mean, this is crazy because Dietz is another Obergruppenführer, and he is in control of this embassy and is trying to... It's just, how deep does this go? And are we talking like Nazi Civil War? Is that, like, what this could potentially be? Or is this, like, the resistance somehow? This is the resistance? It's just, I don't know... Whose allegiance is who now? Because I'm like, okay, so is the resistance, like, our Lim? Is Lim working for Hitler? Is he, because he's the man in the High Castle?
And is he?
And John Smith wants to kill the man in the High Castle, maybe? Or is that just a ploy and he's working with Hitler and he knows what's going on? And then now Heydrich is like, is he the resistance now?
Right.
Like, what is his deal? Well, he's, like, captured now, but Dietz isn't, at least not yet.
Right.
And it's just like, so are they the resistance?
Well, but it's
the,
like,
resistance is actually the Nazis?
Right. Does the resistance know? that they are Nazis? Do they know who they're actually working for? And I guess, again, technically, we saw Hitler in a castle in Austria.
Okay, that lends very well
to being the man in the high castle. And
I guess it's possible that it's not. But we also see him watching films.
But you know what? But you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Nobody ever referred to him as the man in the high castle, and it would be, I think, very climactic and everything I could hope for the man in the high castle if we still don't know him yet.
Yeah, that could be true. That would be very cool.
You know, I mean, but again, I mean, yeah. I'm not naive to the fact that
Hitler was
it's
in a high
most
castle.
Likely
yeah,
we've seen it.
Yeah, but
because the films, you know, and all
that's
this
an
stuff.
Interesting
because
point,
the
though.
Other thing was. What was it? The grasshopper? I should have wrote this.
The grasshopper lies heavy.
Lies heavy. Yeah. None of that stuff was
it's just like
talked about
a code
or like referenced.
So far, I
well,
guess.
Then,
we don't
and
really
then,
know.
Joe said he watched the tape.
Right. And it's,
saw a completely different tape, apparently.
Well, yeah. Joe watched. No, he said that was his tape. Remember when we see him watching the tape in the movie theater that he breaks into in Cannon City?
That was the earlier tape,
the one that he gave over to Lynn.
But for some reason I thought that was the same tape that Juliana had.
No. It's because he got his from New York and brought it.
Right.
She got hers from True.
But I guess I just assumed because
that
it
they
said,
were the same tape.
Yeah, that it was the same footage.
No, I think it's different footage.
Because they never technically, again, they never told us. There's a lot they didn't tell us.
Yeah, I know. There's still stuff
that we don't know.
But a lot of it came out in this episode, which was really cool. Yeah, it was Stalinist propaganda, but it was 5 years after Stalin was executed.
Is that...
Well, I think...
Again, is there this other world which goes to the very end? And we'll get to...
Because up until this point, I was just like, they're like in the Matrix or something, or this is like, it's all like a facade and the Allies really won the war or something like that. Because we're seeing all this footage of Allies winning the war, but now we see like the atomic bomb going off in San Francisco.
Right.
It seems like... So are these all... Is every tape just indicative of some alter reality? Because that hasn't happened yet in this reality, but that's... Probably clearly not the same reality where we see the Allies winning. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
they're
like,
all different possibilities.
Is every tape just like a different possible reality in some way, shape, or form?
Well, and is it a reality that could happen or that could have happened? Again.
I think I want to say maybe it's like could have happened in some way, shape, or form.
It feels more like that.
Can be happening. You know, it's like... Okay, can we go to the end? Can we?
Yes. Okay. We're there.
It's like the white elephant in the room.
If you have not seen the finale through the end, turn us off now.
Yeah, seriously.
Watch it and then come right back.
Because the last twenty seconds changes everything. So we see Tagomi on a park bench with the locket.
So first of all. He's basically told, like, there are people waiting for you. And so he says he's going to take the rest of the day off.
Right.
And that's the last we see him, right?
Uh-huh.
Until this moment.
And he's, like, walking through the streets of San Francisco. And he's holding this locket that he's grown wildly attached to.
Which I still don't understand.
I kind of want to talk about that, too. Because I don't really get what the deal is with
the locket. I think that comes. I think we find out.
We find out later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I will say, you know how the...
I just thought of it.
The Kasura family was like, this thing has woo.
Mm-hmm.
It has the sorrow. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if like Frank made the locket for Juliana, or it's not a locket, it's just a necklace, but made it for Juliana. And it was like this, it was like the sorrow of that somehow is what Tagomi's feeling and like connecting to or
something.
Who
knows?
But there's obviously a deep connection between him and this locket. But he like, is meditating on this park bench and audio effects, and we zoom in on his face, and then...
So we don't know yet.
We don't know, and then we zoom back out, the soundscape changes, and we see...
Kennedy is president of the United States.
The U.S. flag is flying. It looks like San Francisco. I mean, it looks like San Francisco.
In Kennedy's era.
Yeah, as it would have been in the 60s.
Yeah, as it was.
Yeah, as it actually was in our reality.
Yes.
Like, in this reality. And Tagomi's just sort of like, what is going on? And I was like, I was just like, this is okay, not just happened. You did not just end the season on this note.
Right?
Because I was just like, how, where do we go from here? Like, what do I do with that? What do I do with that information? Courtney, I need you to tell me.
I wish I like knew a writer.
How do I handle
that? You have to read the book.
I guess,
the only...
I guess.
I ordered it on Amazon.
I can't
it
do
should
it.
Be here this
because
week.
Because we have a season two now. I was planning on reading the book once we finished up the after shows. And now that there's a season two, I feel like I can't do it because I don't feel like the book ends that way. You know what I mean? Like, we haven't finished the book.
Oh, no.
Over the course of what
I don't think so either.
So I don't know if I want to read it because it's...
I haven't read it yet. It's, like, en route.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Yeah. We'll see.
I don't know.
Okay, but before we go into predictions, because I have predictions about the locket or the necklace and all of that.
Right, right.
Let's just quickly talk about... So Juliana is sent to get Joe because, as we know, they... have gone their separate ways. He thinks he's safely waiting, returned to New York. He's being lied to. Clearly there are conversations that he was told have happened that haven't, or, you know, he's told, oh, we haven't been able to get a hold of John Smith. And then
he's just
told,
being lied
oh yeah,
to
he was.
Up. Cause he intercepts the phone call, which I don't know why they left that phone in that room for him to be able to pick it up. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that was just way too convenient for Joe, but he learns that.
And why he would answer it.
Why he would answer it. Well, I guess if it's been ringing all day, but like, yeah, it was too convenient. It's just like, why would they have that phone there for him? You know, like why in the world would they have
it? And that's where it's one of those where it's like, it's a show, so, you know, they have to, you know.
There has to be some way that he
finds
out.
It's still good. I still liked it.
Yeah, it was fine. Maybe if he was, like, sneaking, like, if we saw him more. But why would he be skeptical? I don't know. It just had to work out that way. But anyways, he gets the phone call, and basically he knows that they've been lying to him. And he thinks that Dietz is working for Heydrich. So, like, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And then he gets confirmation that they haven't been talking, you know, Obergruppen and Fuhrer Smith has been out of the office all day. They can't get in touch with him. So when he asks Dietz again, like, have
and
you spoken?
Then he lies to his face.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, okay, this is happening.
And go to the basement.
Yeah,
I'm like,
what is that?
You're playing, like, all of a sudden now, conveniently, your ride is here.
You go to the basement.
And go to the basement. And he's like, I can't just use the regular
entrance. Doesn't even follow him. He doesn't follow him all the way to the basement. No one goes with. No one escorts him to the basement.
They imply at least for a like decent, you know, number of floors that he
is
like watches.
Yeah, but still, like as soon as Joe made the decision to get out of the embassy, like to not go through with what they were setting up for him to do, it was like it was no big deal. I mean, he has time to stop in the hallway and talk to Juliana in like the foyer of the embassy.
And I think that just must be like a timing thing. Like they didn't have a set time that he was going to be brought to the basement. And he's, you know, he's upstairs unalarmed because he thinks he is in the basement.
I feel like a scene got cut. I feel like there's a scene where he's like sneaking past the
like,
guard or something.
The episode's already this long. Yeah. This is more important than, you know, I mean, but
it's
could,
fine. I'll
we
buy
could
into
see
that,
it.
But.
Well, I think we will
I
see.
I could have used a moment of like explanation as to why or as to how he was able to sneak past and get it. Like, because it seemed like it was no big deal for him to just decide not to go through the
basement.
But
I mean, the building is several floors. So it's one of those where it's very, I think, viable that somebody that would have known that he was supposed to be kept.
Yeah.
Because it's not like they could have everybody in on this. You know what I mean?
But then why wouldn't
to where
you
it would
escort
be alarming.
Him? I don't know.
No, and again, it's like where it's the show. I mean, and truly maybe a scene was cut. But I also think that even more so now because
Don't
you
wanna see deleted scenes?
Yes, because Joe ends up on the boat and all, you know, the way that it all worked out, there's going to be questions that have to be, you know, people are going to have to answer for why Joe wasn't followed all the way into the basement, why they didn't, you know, alarm anybody when he didn't show up in a X amount of time, you know, why nobody can freaking find him now, you know, because we don't know where he's going. He's not going to New York on a boat out of San Francisco.
And does he have the film? I think he has the film still, right?
It was unclear.
Yeah,
At least we don't know
if
you saw,
got the film.
Tell us, tweet us.
Because he's holding it out.
Find us on YouTube. Yeah.
But he doesn't, we don't ever see the film exchange hands. So maybe he gave it to Juliana. Maybe he still has it.
But.
It seems like, but it also seems like he would need to have it. Because what is he going to do if he doesn't have it?
But he's not going to New York.
I guess that's
true. So it's one of those where.
Or is he? Maybe. Maybe not.
Well, I mean,
I don't know.
If he is still trying to get there, he's taking a very roundabout way because I don't think he knows where that boat's going.
No, but I think he just needs to get off the pier.
Oh, no, agreed, because otherwise, like, Lem's going to kill him.
Right.
And I love how he figures it out, which, of course, we knew he was going to because she's going to let, without saying it, you know, their connection, which is probably what we all see, which is why we're like, we want this to happen, even though there's no reason to dislike Frank.
She takes a big shot, too, letting him go here. I mean, she takes a big sort of like a vote of confidence in him one way or the other because, I don't know. I mean, it's like he hasn't denied being a Nazi at this point.
But she changed him. And I think it's just the connection thing.
That's
it's just
true. Just being like, you were maybe you're not. Yeah. Maybe it doesn't matter. But like, I believe in you sort of thing. Like she has faith or she knows that he's a good person, which I agree. I think he's a good person. I think he's in weird circumstances.
Like he's just stuck in this position where it's like, I'm just fighting to stay alive. And part of that has been doing things for the Nazis. You know what I mean? What happens doing to things, be the Nazis? Yeah. Like I've also helped you and your resistance or, so, you know, so it's one of those where it's like, I'm in a gray area, just been in survival mode when I've had to be. Because now the Nazis aren't exactly on his side.
Right. I can 100% agree with that. I mean, the Nazis aren't even on the Nazi side, it seems like.
Right. Well, let's go into predictions for season two.
Can we have some predictions? Light show? Ooh.
And now, your After Buzz TV predictions.
Okay, so before I forget it, I'm going to predict that the necklace in Togomi's hand is somehow, you know, in this alternate reality or actual reality that feels like an alternate reality because of the world we've been currently existing in, and that somehow Julian and him like end up in this Kennedy era, and that's how like they find each other in that other time. You know what I mean? Because it's like, or somebody that, I guess it's almost like a difference of timing, and it's like, but somehow she ends up seeing him or finding him, and the necklace is sort of what makes them meet each other or know each other in a time where maybe they don't actually know each other already.
Oh, so you're saying that there's like the alternate form of Juliana.
Right.
Right, that he meets the like real life
in that era, Juliana. But somehow the necklace, it's kind of like, how did you get that? That's mine. And I mean, I don't know, of course. This is totally just a way out there prediction.
Here's the thing. Yeah, the predictions, we could speculate on all
so
of this
they
stuff.
They gave us
I'm having a hard
so
time.
Much and nothing at the same time.
Exactly. Like, this is a huge plot point because we see that reality as we knew it is somewhat flexible. Either that or Togomi is just like on an acid trip or something, which I don't think is the case.
No.
I think that
world is going to be more of what we see going into season two.
I think
season
two is going to be
pull out of the world we've seen.
Interesting. It's just like, is it going to be like a space-time sort of thing? Or I predict that we're still going to be in sort of the same world that we've been in, but there's going to be moments like this with Togomi, like this moment where we get glimpses of the other world, and we try to, and I also think that Hitler knows what's going on. I think that he knows exactly what's going on and maybe lives in these different, like maybe like he somehow created this world, this reality for himself. Does that make sense? Like,
oh, okay.
Like he somehow created this either through some sort of weird Nazi engineering or like, or if it's something magical or, you know, magical quote unquote, but something like that. I feel like he has, I just feel like he's created it somehow because why else? It doesn't seem like anyone else would choose this reality. Does that make sense?
Right.
It doesn't seem like any other character in the show would have chosen this reality. And it's like that he had to have been the one that chose it because he was the one that wants it. And that's maybe how he knows everything. He just seems to know everything that's going on. Yeah. He seems to understand what the films are. But maybe
seems to
but maybe like these films are somehow like were the fabric of this false reality ripping apart. I mean, this is all speculation.
Of course,
I have no earthly
idea. Well, and that
idea.
Makes me think. Okay, so I'm going to predict that Juliana has the film.
Okay,
and that was sort of their way of knowing they'll have to see each other again because Joe's going to be sent back if he does go back to New York.
Yeah,
he's going to be sent back to get it.
Do you think that Juliana is now like into Joe? Like, I mean, obviously she's been kind of into Joe, but do you think that she's like forsaken Frank for Joe now?
No.
Okay.
But I think she will.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah.
especially now that Frank may not even be alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Too much longer.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, but now if we start getting into these alternate reality things, like what if Frank dies, but in this other reality, like if Juliana's somehow able to pull a Tagomi and meets Frank, you know what I mean? Like,
true. Well, and
is death really death now? Because
we didn't see,
you can phase into this different
We're not
existence.
Even predicting anything anymore. We're just trying to make sense of all of this.
This is a lot to make sense of, though.
Did we get a video from Keith of his prediction?
I don't know if we did. Nope. Okay. Well,
okay.
Keith sends his regards. He's been having a crazy time the past couple of weeks. He had a family thing come up, so we send our best
wishes
to him. Yeah, for sure. Wish he could be here with us tonight. He was gonna try to get a video to us, and it doesn't look
with
like
some
he
of his
had.
Predictions. But let us know what your predictions are.
Well,
I guess one final thought at all.
I want to see season 2. I mean, that's really I could
without reading the book.
I
now.
Could talk for another hour about what could possibly happen and not make a single real prediction.
So what you have to do is you have to go online. What's your Twitter?
T-Bolt or Taybolt, T-A-Y-B-O-L-D-T.
Yes, I'm at Cohen, C-O-U-H-E-N. Tweet us and talk to us and give us your predictions and we can talk online.
Please help
and
us,
try to speculate.
Help us make sense of all of this because I'm a bog or a gog with possibilities.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
We've loved doing this show, and we look forward to season 2.
Yes. We'll see you then.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.